The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. 10 minutes after 8, and the email of the day is sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson and Central Point Family Dentistry, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. Great people there, and while you wait, crowns available. And that's pretty darn good. They have a in-house lab. They can help you out there. Find out more at centralpointfamilydentistry.com. I'm going to give an email of the day for Lynn Barton, and this has to do with the school resource issue here. And you have to understand that this was about the resource officer, Josh Doney, being reassigned to patrol. And, of course, the rumors that have been going out there, MPD and Medford 549C coming out and saying, hey, there's nothing to these rumors. But what Lynn shared with me, of course, is the maskless women group ended up putting a post up there. I guess Lynn put this up on her page, and Lynn submitted it to me. And the story goes that Officer Doney was removed from his school resource officer position because he was standing up for the students. Officer Doney spoke with a school board member, which he had every right to do, about school safety concerns, specifically revolving around arresting a student with a firearm on them at the school, and the district wanting to allow that student back to school after only a suspension. Officer Doney simply answered questions honestly and truthfully and didn't divulge anything which should be deemed inappropriate. Consequently, questions were raised to the district by the school board. They eventually yielded and expelled the student because of Doney pushing back. Okay, that caused Brett Champion, the superintendent, and Ron Havenier, executive director of security, leadership, and facilities issues, which did not appreciate that and almost cost Ron his job. They were able to determine Officer Doney had spoke with the board member and were upset with him over his conversation. Okay, let's say that this is all true, and it makes sense. Your challenge here, folks, is with the Medford 549C school district, more so than it is MPD, okay? Because remember, I've had guests on that even talked about it. Medford 549C has a policy of restorative justice. Remember, restorative justice, the same kind of restorative justice in which Shooter Cruz down in Parkland, everyone was tap dancing around things as much as they could to avoid having to either arrest a kid, put a kid in jail. Because remember, it's about making the school district stats look better. So this could be an issue that the Medford 549C board's going to have to take up with. I already talked about this. I forget the name of the program, but it is right there on the Medford 549C website. They're into the same restorative justice. In other words, we can't have the crime stats look too bad because it might be diversity, you know, that sort of thing, or it might be a diverse person, whatever that nonsense is that is talked about in here. There may be something to this, but remember, the problem is school district policy, and I think the board should be maybe looking at this school district policy in which they have this restorative justice program part of Medford 549C. In fact, I had a guest talk about that with me. I think it was about 2-3 months ago. I'm going to look back in my notes. But she did say that it is on the Medford 549C website and that we're one of the schools that are part of this. Other schools don't seem to be involved with this. So did that have some role to play in this Officer Doney situation? Maybe so. Is it the talking outside of school? No pun intended. Maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe there are some rules about that. But there's a lot of fodder that I think that maybe the Medford 549C school board needs to get a little more muscular about what policies are actually there in their handbook or on their website, okay? 14 minutes after 8 here. All right, we'll talk more about that as time goes on. This is just the beginning of that, no doubt. Gold this morning, 24.22 last time I checked here. And Mr. Gold is still saying that the markets are saying that they're not going to get control of the spending. Still not going to be able to get control of the spending. Still going up in price, making new highs. Higher highs and higher lows, even as it seesaws up and down here. Go to J. Austin & Company Gold and Silver Buyers in Ashland, 1632 Ashland Street and 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. It is worth talking about taking some of your wealth and preserving some of this. Buck's not worth like it was, like the Jay Austin song says, and there doesn't appear to be any desire to make a buck worth what it was or make a buck worth, well, in other words, making the dollar great again. I don't know. It doesn't seem to be a real plan in this, so make sure that you protect a portion of your wealth here too. Thousands of years of experience with gold and silver doing this. Jay Austin is where you go to get it. The recognized experts. Call them at 482-3715. Better yet, just drop by the store this morning. Call 482-3715 to see the store in Grants Pass for an appointment, all right? JayAustinBrokers.com, GrantsPassCoins.com, FortuneReserve.com.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority in post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
One of each, Forte VIN 800-413, MSRP 21645, Sol VIN 918111, MSRP 21865, 3699, due 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer, plus tax, title, license, 151.
Sashlin.
19 after 8, and we have Mark Mix joining me right now, president of National Right to Work Committee, about 3 million people involved with this public policy, and he's also president of the National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation. Mark, welcome to the show. Been way too long since I talked to you. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great, Bill. Good to be on with you, and thank you for taking an interest in the foundation's filing of a Supreme Court case on behalf of Jewish professors from all the way across the country, the City University of New York.
Yeah. What is the issue in play here? And first off, for those that don't know, what is right to work? What is right to work?
Yeah, Bill. Sorry about that. I should take the responsibility of defending that and explaining it right at the forefront.
Sure.
Right to work is a very simple concept. We certainly believe that every worker has the right to join a union, to associate with a union, to pay money to a union, to basically give their entire paycheck to a union if they choose to do so. But right-to-work laws in the 26 states that have them basically say that you as a worker cannot be compelled as a condition of getting or keeping a job to pay a union for the ability to work. It's okay. Really that simple.
All right. Now, I guess that they can force you to pay the union if it has to do with contract negotiation. Is that the way the law spells out these days?
Yeah, well, that was a U.S. Supreme Court case that we won back in 1988 called Communication Workers versus Beck, that basically the Supreme Court said, you know, it's really outrageous that the unions have this monopoly representation power over all workers, and they use their money to support causes and politics and ideological issues that most workers or many workers would oppose.
Yeah.
And so that's coming to light again here with this case on behalf of these CUNY professors. But it's true, Bill. It's wrong. And what's interesting is the New York Times did a story today talking about how the unions wrote a letter to the Biden administration telling them they ought to cease fire in Israel, and we should stop funding Israel until a ceasefire is granted. And the union said this, Bill, this is interesting. Working people and our unions are horrified that our tax dollars are financing this ongoing tragedy. We need a ceasefire now, and the best way to secure that is to shut off the U.S. military aid to Israel. Well, that argument can be made by these professors at CUNY University when their union is using their money that they have to pay as a condition of employment to support a cause that they are ideologically opposed to and horrified by.
And from what I understand is that the union CUNY is City University New York. Isn't that what that stands for, right?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay,
yep.
Yeah. And so we have these professors that are in this union, and is it the professors or just regular staff? I want to make sure I understand this correctly.
Professors, okay. And I think there's a staffer among the
okay.
Six, yeah.
These are professors that are saying, hey, my union hates Israel and is going for the Palestinian causes, and they're probably not really happy that their dues are going to support this, right? That kind of thing?
Exactly.
All right. Okay. And so this is a right to associate or to not associate kind of case, right? Is that essentially what's going to be filed and brought up before the Supreme Court, hopefully?
Yeah, it really is, Bill, and you are spot on in your analysis. We've already won. But I mentioned the Beck case from 1988 for private sector workers. We won a case in 2018 at the Supreme Court called Janus, which has the same implications, although Janus went farther. The Supreme Court then ruled that union officials cannot compel any government employee anywhere in America, whether it be in Oregon or New York or mm-hmm. California, wherever, cannot force any government employee to pay anything to a union in order to work for government. They established the First Amendment rights of speech for government employees across the land. What this case would do is go farther and take the freedom of association right on top of the freedom of speech. I mean, one knows that you can't have the right to associate without the corollary right not to associate. But yet federal labor policy and state labor policy in many instances forces these employees to associate with a union that is doing things that are anti-theoretical to what they believe and their culture and their belief system.
Yeah. This is really interesting, Mark, and the reason I thought this was interesting is that I've been harping about the right to associate means nothing if you don't have the right to exclude people that you have to associate, because otherwise it's just this this whole idea that, well, the federal government, and I think Would it be fair to say that the federal government has almost destroyed the right to associate because of civil rights legislation passed, let's say, in the 1960s and beyond, and how it has sort of morphed into this? Well, you don't really want to be with this person, but hey, under civil rights law, you're going to get with them good and hard. You know, that kind of thing. Does that kind of make your case harder because of civil rights legislation?
Well, it does. And in our case goes specifically to labor law, which goes back to the 1930s. It was the Congress under the Roosevelt administration that passed a labor policy that was mimicked by many states on for state employees across the country and local government employees that basically said union officials had the power to force you to associate first. And then after taking away your right to associate or not to associate, they said you have to pay for that forced association. So the Right to Work Foundation, the Right to Work Foundation has worked on a series of cases over the years that have basically attacked exactly what you're talking about, that freedom to associate. Because that's the fundamental injustice here, Bill, is this idea that I can speak for you without your consent. I can take a stand on issues that you oppose, but yet I can still force you to pay for this association.
And that's what they call a racket, I think, Mark, isn't it?
That sounds like a good definition. That's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you're all about, do you not want unions? Or do you think unions have a place at all in today's society? What do you think about that, Mark? Because I'll tell you, I have softened my stance on unions in some particular instances. I'd like to get your opinion on that too, please.
Yeah, no, I think that's appropriate. I believe there was a place for unions, there is a place for unions, and there will be a place for unions in the American workplace, whether it be the public sector or the private sector. Certainly, the public sector is an interesting question, you know, that you can bifurcate the two when it comes to the private sector. But there's absolutely a place for workers to join together voluntarily to amplify their voice in the workplace. But there's no place in that system, and there shouldn't be any place for compulsion and force. And unfortunately, that's the platform right now.
All right, and that's it, to get away from the compulsion. I think that's wise. I think that's very good. Because I'm thinking that, an anti-union stance is quite often been kind of something coming from the Republican Party or a lot of Republican people or the right wing for a long time. I think there's been a bit of that. I think that's kind of changing a bit. And the reason I'm seeing this is that when it comes right down to it, hasn't the Democratic Party really become what the Republican Party was always thought to be before, kind of the party of massive corporate wealth and capital? I'm just wondering if that may be some of the changes that we're seeing in the current iteration of the Republican Party. Any thoughts on that?
Well, absolutely. And I think basically that notion that somehow the Republican Party was the tool of big corporations, the Democrats really, I don't know how they win these propaganda battles, but they tend to win them. And that's just not true. I mean, organized labor has been on the side of one particular party for, you know, forever. I mean, they give 95 to 98% of all their political money to one party. But here's the deal. It's, you know, Sean O'Brien spoke at the Republican National Convention, last week or 2 weeks ago, I guess it was.
Yeah, talk about strange talk about strange bedfellows, huh?
Yeah, well, that was an important speech because what Sean O'Brien was admitting by showing up there was he knows a majority of his members are supporting Republican candidates now and probably supporting Donald Trump because they believe in secure borders, less government, you know, lower taxes. Those issues that are bread and butter issues for America's middle class and regular folks are things that Republicans have embraced for years. And Sean O'Brien knows that. So that's why he was there and why Sean Fain, the president of the United Auto Workers Union, is out there writing editorials for writing op-eds for the New York Times that talks about we've got to increase the power of unions over these workers. We can't let them out. We've got to keep them controlled under our control so that we can use it for electoral politics or whatever, and certainly use their money for electoral politics.
Well, it's just my belief, and it's just a belief of mine that I've been putting a little meat on here. I mean, I've never belonged to a union, so I don't even know what that's like. But what I've seen happening is that the changes in my life, I would dare say, when I got out of school, labor was certainly a much more powerful force in the system in the late 1970s when I got out of school. A lot more labor. I mean, labor could just bring industries to its knees, you know, back in those days. It was pretty well known. Automobile strikes, it happened all the time, And since the globalist position, since the United States more or less was in, decided to volunteer to export its jobs to cheaper global, you know, kind of like doing this this international wage arbitrage against the American worker, labor's power dropped dramatically, and the rise of corporate power rose immensely, you know, in my opinion. And with reducing populations, or, you know, baby bust, if you want to call it now, I would say some of that power is starting to shift back to workers in some way. Would you agree or disagree with me on that?
I would agree with that. I think that, you know, when we look at the organized labor movement, only about 6% of the private sector workforce is unionized today, about 10% of the entire workforce is unionized today. But, Bill, they still have power out of all proportion to their numbers because they play politics to the tune of billions of dollars.
And especially public employee unions, which I do not think should exist, because you're because public employee unions are negotiating with both sides of it. They're negotiating with the people that their union dues ended up getting elected. There is no honest broker in public employee unions. There just aren't. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. You and Franklin Roosevelt agree on that. Franklin Roosevelt was asked that question back in 1937, I believe, by a public sector union official after the Congress had imposed forced unionism on the country, on all private sector workers. And Roosevelt said, you can't negotiate with the government. And he's exactly right. You're exactly right. So your position is a Roosevelt position.
Got it. I actually believe it was something about FDR. Oh, no. I'm sorry. Yeah. I apologize. Yeah. All right. Not a fan of FDR overall, but still, when he was right about something, he was right about something, okay? Liberal right, you know, the clock is right two times a day, at least the analog clock, all right? Hey, good talk on this one. So when does this lawsuit get heard then about, you know, the religious issues within the union and the right of association to not associate in this college case with CUNY? What do we know? Is it going to be heard, or is it just being brought up at this point?
Yeah, we just filed a petition for certiorari. Obviously, the Supreme Court's out right now. The session ended back at the end of June. They will come back into session in October. I think the first week in October is when they come back into session. And they will have a list of cases that have been filed where people asked the Supreme Court to take on these issues. And this one will end up probably not in the first round of Supreme Court actions as far as taking cases and granting the right to argue these cases. We anticipate that we'll probably hear sometime, you know, November, December, maybe even January, on when they decide if they're going to take the case or going to reject it. We hope they take it because the confusion on this issue, Bill, across the country is growing. It's growing all the time. And I think people like you understand this forced association is wrong. And in clarifying that, making sure they can clarify that is a really important part of what the court needs to do on this issue.
Mark Mix, once again, National Right to Work, National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation. Do you read up on this at nrtw.org, or is the case on a different website?
No, you can find it at nrtw.org. You're exactly right.
All right, very good. Mark, great talk. We'll have you back, and thanks for explaining what's going on. And this could be another big deal in the union world, okay? Thank you so much.
Indeed. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you. 831 KMED KBXG. This is the Bill Meyer Show.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your tonneau cover source. Tonneau covers are a great way to secure and protect the cargo in your bed from the elements. Styles from Truck Gear, Mack Industries, Undercover, and more. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, your one-stop accessory and protection shop.
Does your property have adequate, defensible space for fire season? Hi, this is Jeff with Quality Tree Service. Fire officials are again urging property owners to maintain a buffer clear of brush, low-hanging branches, and other flammable material. At Quality Tree Service, we can visit your property and recommend trimming, brush clearing, and tree removal if necessary to help provide fire protection for your home and outbuildings. Call me today for a thorough inspection and no-obligation quote. Visit QualityTreeServiceMedford.com.
At Siskiyou Pump Service and Rotary Drilling Company, we provide well water services to your home and business from field to tap. Our drilling team will construct your water well, and our technicians at Siskiyou Pump Service can take it from there with pump installation, water filtration systems, and installation of a holding tank if needed. Siskiyou Pump Service and Rotary Drilling Company are here for you with complete well water services from field to tap, serving the Rogue Valley for over 50 years. Visit us at SiskiyouPump.com.
One of each, Forte VIN 800413, MSRP 21645, Sol VIN 918111, MSRP 21865, 3699, due 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer, plus tax, title, license, 150 registration, processing fee. Trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance, N 73124.
The summer of savings is here with new Kias from $139 a month at Kia Medford. Now is the best time to get into a new Kia. Shop our huge selection and save. Get a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS for a new new 2024 Kia Soul LX. Just $139 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Then find a Kia you really want, like new Fortes or Souls. Just $139 a month. Don't miss the summer of savings going on right now at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
Power outages are becoming more common. Patriot Electric can size you with the correct Generac generator backup system for when outages occur. Whether you need a powerful portable or a whole house system to power your house, barn, shop, and pump house, a flip of a switch will produce power when you need it the most to pump water and provide essentials like AC and refrigeration. Call Patriot Electric and get your own Generac generator, an investment you'll never regret. We are Generac sales, installation, and service professionals. Visit PatriotElectricOregon.com.
106.3 KMED. This is the Bill Myers Show.
And we're taking your calls at 770-563-3770-KMED. By the way, the talk about Officer Doney being reassigned, that has been kind of a controversy there with folks on Facebook and also the Medford Police Department's page and so much more. And remember I talked about restorative justice being part of the Medford 549C school district? I found the information from the interview of a couple of months ago, and I'll share some of that with you coming up, all right? So everyone's saying, all right, they got rid of Doney because he was concerned about safety in there, or he talked to a school board member out of it. Well, this is official school policy. And I'll tell you more about this here in just a moment. So think about that. Steve's in Sunny Valley. Hello, Steve. You wanted to weigh in on right to work. I was talking with Mark Mix about that. Oregon, by the way, not a right to work state. You are forced into a union if in order to get a job in some cases. What are you thinking?
Well, in 2000, I was a member of the Transport Workers Union, an aircraft mechanic for American Airlines in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Right.
And the state house was held by the Democrats, and the governor was a Republican. And the Democrats were trying to shake the unions down for more money. And they said, hey, if you don't give us more money, we're going to let this right to work go through the House. And the union said, we gave enough. Most of the mechanics I worked for voted conservative anyway because they were hunters and they liked their 2A rights.
Sure.
But, the Democrats were shaking down the unions, and the union said enough is enough. And now Oklahoma is a right to work state.
They reached too far, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah.
They did. Their greed knows no bounds.
What is your overall feeling about unionized workforces in the first place? Do you have one?
Oh, yeah. I have worked for three different careers with three different unions. Mandatory because they fall under the Railway Labor Act, and that's transportation workers. It's just another layer of somebody over you that doesn't really know the job. They're there to protect the people who are probably too incompetent to do the job anyway.
Hmm. Do you think in a time of declining population or, fewer, because as it is right now, I've been thinking that we're going to see more of a return back, more private sector labor unions than we once did. And I would dare say that what has happened in the high-tech world where you're getting this situation where you're competing with H-1B visa-type peoples who are brought in by globalist, faceless corporations here that are just looking for the absolute cheapest worker in the world, and then you're brought in to train your replacement, and then too bad for you. Yeah, you were told to hey, learn to code and you'll have a job, right? That kind of thing. You think that might be changing?
I have a little experience with that. My father was a pharmacist and the founder of the Guild for Professional Pharmacists, a union for pharmacists in the Bay Area.
Right.
And that's because at that time they were bringing in good people, cheap people from South Africa who were trying to get away from, everything that followed the downfall of that government.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're still killing farmers over there. Nobody talks about that.
It doesn't fit the narrative.
No, it doesn't fit the narrative. So, yes, there is a need for workers to unite, but then again, it has to be voluntary. It can't be mandatory. And everybody says, well, unions got us a five-day work week, and the unions got us all these vacations. Unions got us benefits. But that's not true.
No, it's not true at all. It really is. I know it's a very common situation. A lot of what we look at as unionized benefits were really brought in because there were labor shortages and people had to find ways. Companies had to find ways to compensate them in other ways.
They wanted to limit their tax liability.
Mm-hmm.
So you give somebody vacation, you give somebody medical benefits, you don't have to pay more income tax. You don't have to pay more Social Security.
Appreciate the call. Good hearing from you. Thank you, Steve. 770-5633. Go to line two. Bring that up. Hello, line two. I think it's Dave. Is this Dave?
Yeah, it's Minor Dave.
Yeah, I thought so.
I have two things. One's on union. I'll cover that in a minute. But my brother came, got me a tire yesterday, but we couldn't get a used one because my tires are 15s. And they.
Oh, you know how hard it is to find 15-inch tires in some cases? Getting harder.
Well, you can find new ones at Les Schwab,
but
no used ones.
Yeah.
Because they monetized used tires for repurposing. They have a big truck that comes in and grinds them all up.
Yeah.
And the dealership, the tire shop gets paid by the weight.
Yeah, well, 15-inch tires are not as common as they once were. Now, I have them on my PT. But you know my Vanagon? The Vanagon I told you about before here? You want to talk about... very difficult to find good tires for it these days. 195 R14s. That's what's supposed to be.
Oh my God, those are almost. You're gonna if you Les Schwab has them, but you might have to order them.
Yeah, I got them from Phoenix Auto Center a number of years ago, and they ordered them, and they're great tires, and they're like 8-ply rated. So they're like because it's a heavy van, but a small wheel. That's the way those vehicles were designed.
Yeah.
But now we're getting to these points where even these little SUVs have these giant 19-inch rims on them and little thin skin tires on them. It's insane.
It turns out that 17s will fit my truck.
Good.
And I got a guy that's got rims, and I got another guy that's got four brand new tires that have never been on a vehicle.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're back on the road there. Now then, tell me about the union experience. I know you were in one.
Yeah. Well, when I belonged to the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, I wasn't a journeyman, but I was considered a highly skilled person. In fact, sometimes my skills surpassed a journeyman, but I didn't have that, master craftsman certification. So, but in the union dues we paid, it went all for the local business management and the national. They had a certain amount that went to national, and none of it was used for politics. They had a separate fund called the Cope Fund that you could donate to or not donate to. But if you donated to it, you got all kinds of accolades, and you got more work if you weren't a journeyman.
Yeah. In other words, thank you for helping us support Democratic politics, right?
Right.
Thank you very much. All right. Thank you, Dave. And I don't know, maybe that'll change over somewhat. Old habits died hard, that's for sure. 8:41, after news, I want to share some notes from an interview that I had a number of months ago, back in May, about restorative justice. And could restorative justice be what we're dealing with the reassignment of the police officer who is the Medford 549C, or was the Medford 549C resource officer, back to, going back to patrol? Maybe there is something to that. And I'll share a note and actually go to the website where Medford 549C has it. Okay? News is sponsored by Valley View Nursery, your only nursery with online pricing. Visit valleyviewnursery.com. They're closer than you think.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. Medford Police and the Medford School District issued a joint statement saying social rumors about a school resource officer's reassignment being retaliatory are untrue. Rumors suggest Officer Josh Doney was reassigned because he questioned allowing students who were expelled for bringing guns to school back into the district sooner than district guidelines allow. While Medford PD says reassignments are common, they also say they can't discuss personnel matters publicly. Federal Emergency emergency money is coming to Oregon for the Durkee Fire burning between Ontario and Baker City. It's 240,000 acres and 0% contained. The fire has forced closures of I-84 and threatens power infrastructure. As dozens of fires burn across the state, firefighters are getting little help from the weather. Nearly all of the state hasn't seen substantial rainfall in at least 45 days. Temperatures are expected to cool slightly this week, but will be windy east of the Cascades. I'm Bill London, KMED News.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority on post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
Whether you need a weathertight garage for your vehicles and toys, a functional workshop, an ideal barn for your horses, or an oversized covered riding arena, Johnson Builders has you covered. Choose from a variety of maintenance-free colors, warranted steel panel roofing and siding options, plus alternative finishes like stone, brick, or wood siding to match your aesthetic and functional requirements. Roofing material options too. Visit Johnson.Builders.
Johnson Builders, building for your future.
American Rancher Garage services most vehicles and offers state-of-the-art amenities, affordable pricing, and prompt service you can trust. If you're looking for a reliable, full-service automotive repair shop that provides old-fashioned service to keep you and your busy life moving, you've found it right here, just across the street from Elmer's on Biddle. Call, stop by, or text us through our website at AmericanRancher.com. 541-499-6673. American Rancher Garage, we are united through service.
1954, 70 years ago, From Here to Eternity wins the Academy Award. The number two song of the day, The Cordettes' Mr. Sandman. Meantime, store number two for Grover was next to open. Grover Electric and Plumbing in Klamath Falls, Oregon, welcoming do-it-yourselfers and contractors. With a promise of superior service, quality products, and everyday low prices, Grover celebrates 70 years of do-it-yourself and save. For a location near you, visit groverelectric.com.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided. By Dish.
The Bill Myers Show, 106.3 KMED.
It's 8:45. Okay, so the allegations once again is that Officer Josh Doney reassigned to Medford Police Patrol from School Resource Officer at South Medford High School was because of raising concerns about a student getting a firearm, having a firearm at school, and letting him back into school, or letting this student back into school. I'm assuming it's a he, just overnight, you know, one day and then back in school. And then Doney, of course, expresses concern about school safety to a board member who then goes into this. And so it's a big holy mess, you know, this kind of thing. And I remind you of an interview that I had. This is May 15th. I just found the notes from it. And I think the podcast is still up on BillMyersShow.com. You can take a look at this. It was at 8:10 on May 15th that I interviewed Ryan Staley, who's a researcher for Parents Defending Education. And what we were talking about is this massive increase in school districts around the country using restorative justice practices. And that's just like what happened with Nicholas Cruz. Remember Nicholas Cruz, who was in prison for life after shooting up the school in Florida? Remember that? Restorative justice coupled with the behavioral chaos that we're seeing in some of the classrooms there, too. And it's what we were talking about. Parents Defending Education ended up putting a list of school districts that are using restorative justice as an official part of their school discipline policy. And Medford 549C is a school district that has restorative justice as part of its official policy. Now, what is restorative justice? It's a practice, behavioral practice in the classroom. It's, as they put it, this is what Parents Defending Education told me, affirmation-based, and it prioritizes students' feelings through conversation rather than traditional discipline. More and more schools are attempting to use restorative justice policies in their schools, putting students, teachers, and bystanders at risk of violent bad behavior. That was the claim of Ryan Staley. And maybe I'm going to have to invite Ryan on tomorrow morning and see if I can get him on to talk about this further. Now, I can't say for sure that this is it, but you know, you have someone who is accused of, you know, was busted by the police for having a gun at school and then is back in the school the next day. Well, remember, when you have restorative justice, I guess you're supposed to understand the dirtbag kid and try to find a way to keep this person in school, no matter what it might do to the safety of the other children in the school system, because there's also this issue of you don't want the crime statistics to look too bad at your school. This might be something that Superintendent Champion had a voice in. Hey, listen, this Donny guy is making us look bad. And maybe I'm just speculating. Maybe this is what happened. But they're circling the wagons, I would imagine, right now. But I would remind you that Medford 549C is the only school here in Southern Oregon, according to Parents' Rights or Parents Defending Education. It's the only school district which is using restorative justice. Now, you won't see it called restorative justice. You go to the Medford 549C school site and you go to student wellness. Student Wellness is run by Amy Mueller. It's the director of Student Wellness. Now, I don't know if Amy had anything to do with this particular student or not, but Melissa Shannon is the office manager of this department. So there's this department of Student Wellness, and this is where the restorative justice is hidden, apparently. The Student Wellness Department supports the student services within schools to promote students' overall health and wellness, K-12 in the Medford School District. We strive for all students to be ready and available for learning. And we know that this starts with physical, emotional, and mental well-being. Student Wellness Department supervises, but is not limited to the following programs and services. The Comprehensive School Counseling Plan. So maybe this is where a student who brought a gun to school and then is busted by the school resource officer. Well, you know, well, just let him come back to school tomorrow because we'll get him into the Comprehensive School Counseling Plan. I'm just speculating here, but this is where this kind of thought process is hidden, okay? School-based mental health. Well, how can you have school-based mental health if the kid is outside in juvenile detention, which is probably where the kid belongs? But remember, we're doing everything possible to not expel or get kids out. Not only is the kid worth, $18,000 a year or more in state funding coming in, but you end up having bad crime statistics. Now, these are my conclusions I'm drawing as how something like this might be happening. Let's see. Oh, there we go. Prevention programs. Oh, restorative practices. Ding, 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 ding. This means crime being committed by diversity is treated differently. I think that's what this is about. Remember, this is all about you don't want the stats to look bad. Oh, you're expelling a bunch of diversity. No, we were restoring kids that brought guns to school. Oh, no, but they were diverse. We can't do that. It looks bad. Looks bad to the Democrats in charge of the school system in Oregon. You know, that kind of thing. Nursing, vaccinations, PE peak grant. Okay, those are some of the other things. So just remember, these are the questions that, frankly, I would hope that the Medford 549 school board is more interested in, because the school board member who ended up being approached allegedly by Officer Doney that said, hey, we got a problem in this school. This is official school board and school district policy. Restorative justice is part of the 549C school district policy. So yelling at MPD for reassigning Officer Josh Doney may be misplaced, because remember, the root of this very well is student policy and educational policy. And I would believe this would had to have been passed by the school board and put in as official policy. Restorative justice, the Student Wellness Department at Medford 549C. So maybe Brett Champion did have the officer reassigned because that was embarrassing us and making our restorative justice program look bad. Maybe there is something to it. I don't know. I'm just telling you what what parents' rights defending or parents' rights in education, parents defending education was talking about. And it's the only school here in Southern Oregon that is doing these kind of programs. Maybe this is connected with the school resource officer being reassigned. That's what I can tell you. The questions need to be made of the Medford 549C school board at this point. And maybe it's completely innocent. Maybe it's just time for Donnie to get reassigned, because I know that that happens. I've talked with police officers in my own family, and sometimes, okay, well, you're doing this for a while, and then you cycle into something different, or maybe it's too, maybe you're tired of doing it. Maybe Donnie didn't feel like he was being supported there. That's a possibility. I don't know. But that's what I can tell you about the official policy, though, that Medford 549C has under student wellness restorative justice practices. It's not all that different than what kept Nicholas Cruz in the school in Florida that he ended up shooting up. Everybody knew it was a problem. Remember? Well, we can't do anything because restorative justice, we have to make our crime, it makes us look too bad. Is that what Brett Champion was involved here? I can't say. But it's an interesting theory. And if you have a comment on it, you know my number, 770-5633. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Life's busy, and off is not an option. You need to be on the water, on the call, on the road. Life's waiting. Power on with Batteries Plus. Visit one of over 700 locations today.
Good. Artisan Bakery Cafe Summer Specials. Now is the time to indulge in a delicious affogato. Two perfectly pulled shots of espresso poured over creamy vanilla ice cream. For an extra treat, add chocolate and whipped cream to make it an affogato sundae. Come on by Tuesday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. and Saturday from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. at 1325 Center Drive, just across from South Bredmeyer. Indoor and outdoor seating available. That's Artisan Bakery Cafe.
James Taylor released the single Fire and Rain in August of 1970, and it quickly reached number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100. This song is a reminder that summer heat and winter moisture can make the ground under your house foundation unstable. With Millette Construction, you've got a friend that can level your house and fix the water issue that caused the damage. Get on solid ground. Millette Construction is your foundation handyman. Visit MilletteConstruction.com. CCB number 32787.
Hi, it's Jolene with Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. We've got summer savings on quality Continental tires. Through August, get a $110 Visa prepaid card in the mail when you purchase a set of qualifying tires for your truck, SUV, or van. And there's 16 different popular styles to choose from, including Cross Contact, 4x4 Contact, Terrain Contact, and Premium Contact. Continental is one of our most recommended tire brands, so if you need a set for your truck, SUV, or van, come see us at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros in Phoenix.
Hi, I'm Deb with Father and Son Jewelry, and I'm on KMED.
Some more emails from the inbox this morning. Butch writes me, Bill, I learned my home insurance was canceled in January. I may have been notified. Apparently, my policy had been transferred from MetLife to Farmers. If I saw an envelope from them, I tossed it because I didn't know they had my plan. No threats from the mortgage companies. I guess I'm on my own. If this place is destroyed, it's on me. I love how the libs take good care of their constituents. Richard writes me. Richard Corbin says, Bill, about the pressure cookers. Remember, we're supposed to have county extension services because we can't inspect pressure cookers without that, right? But many of the restaurants in the Rogue Valley have pressure cookers. Pizza places have them. Grocery stores have delis have them. I assume there is a county or state inspector. Why not have the inspector also check out home pressure cookers? Pay a fee, $20 or so, drop the cooker off at a designated location, then pick it up with a pass or no pass certification. Solves the problem, makes a little honest money for the county or state. Can the county or state make honest money, Richard? But I appreciate your writing, okay? The Reverend David says, hey, Bill, Francine is wondering who tried to kill President Trump, who was behind it. She says JFK, and who might have shot him, and... But she is nuts if she thinks that he was behind it. Anyone who thinks that should have their heads examined. There, I've said it. All right, David, I appreciate your take on that. The 4-H pig pen fiasco. Hey, Bill, I missed what was printed on the T-shirt that caused the stir regarding the 4-H fiasco in Josephine County. Would appreciate if you could fill me in. You know, the way it was explained to me here, Adele, is that this had to do with them wanting to have I think it was Faithful Farmers was the name of the group, the 4-H group. And the 4-H group, of course, didn't like the idea that there was a Christian cross on the 4-H, on the 4-H club shirt, rather, because we know that, 4-H is all about, had it been a satanic, had it been maybe the pentagram, that would have been okay, because pentagrams are, much more into the left-wing side of things. I'm just kidding about it. Maybe I'm not kidding about that, but that's what that was all about. It was really the start of the exodus of Christians out of 4-H, and then there only ended up being a handful of the kids left. And then the commission in Josephine County would say, well, should we pay for this? Well, tell me where you're spending it on. And it ended up really being a subsidy to Oregon State University's wokesters, okay? So that's what caused it. It was the Christian cross. Email Bill at BillMeyerShow.com. More tomorrow.
Saudis dropped the petrol.